The Lord's Prayer, as he would have spoken it in Aramaic. I don't know that there's anybody here who could not acknowledge a certain inherent beauty in hearing the words of the Lord's Prayer sung to us in the original language. Let me ask you this, though. How much of that did you understand? Can we acknowledge that there is certainly an opportunity to recognize the beauty of the Lord's Prayer while at the same time not really getting or understanding what it means? I personally was moved when I first heard that sung. And I realized what a parallel it creates in so many lives, that we can look at the Lord's Prayer, we can hear the Lord's Prayer in the most original and God-honoring way and still not get what it means. My question to you, my friends, is how well do you understand the Lord's Prayer? This morning we close out not only 2009, but our series entitled Prayer. And I saved the prayer that everybody expected the series on prayer to begin with, to close out our series. The prayer that Jesus offered as a model, and let me tell you up front, it was a model, not something to be memorized, but something to be modeled. When his disciples said, "Teach us how to pray." I wonder how many of us who have recited this Lord's Prayer over and over and over again have done it to the point where it's become like listening to it or saying it in Aramaic, where you may be able to get the words out, but you may not fully understand what it means. So this morning, as we close out this series, we are going to walk through the Lord's Prayer. And I pray that each and every one of us will see it, hear it, and understand it anew. I promise you, before we're done, starting out with an Aramaic song of the Lord's Prayer, that you will be encountering the Lord's Prayer in some ways that you've never done before. You see, we often recognize it as the famous religious prayer. Well, I'm hoping that this morning it's going to become personal and relational. We're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer word by word. And I pray that when we leave today, it'll have a whole new meaning for you. So let's start out. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's go into the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to ask you to kind of walk with me through your Bible. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The Lord's Prayer. Let's go ahead and recite it. Because this is where first most people get lost. Let's start off looking at the first word, our. It's a relational word. It's an exclusive word. Who is our? What does that word our represent? Certainly there are some that are in the our crowd, and that must mean there are some that are not in the our crowd. You see, this is known as the Lord's Prayer, but it's only going to be effective. It only applies to those who would embrace, not of their own volition, but by God's gift, the title of our. Who is in the our community that Jesus is speaking to? Let me tell you that far too often people say, "Well, I am." And they think because they say so, that makes it so. And that's just not so. Let's take a quick look at what God's word says about who represents the our in the body of Christ. I take you first to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I encourage you, if you have a pencil and pen, to get them ready, because we're going to walk through an awful lot of scripture this morning. All here to strengthen you as a child of God. John 1 verse 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." So the first place where we see who is the our, those who believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have been born again. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Those who have received the lavish love of the Lord have taken it in by grace through faith. We see in Romans 10:9, this verse is on the back of my business card. I give this to every single person I can. It says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Those who have made the exchange from the lost to the found, who have given up self for the Savior. We see in 1 John 3:10, "This is how we will know who the children of God are." You see, somebody might say, "Well, you mean if I say that prayer?" Well, I walked up front in a church one time and this pastor guy told me I'm saved. So you're telling me it's just somebody that says these certain things? Oh no, Oh no, none of these can be looked at in and of themselves to the exclusion of the rest of the Bible. Listen to what John 3:10 tells us. This is how we will know the children of God. This is how we will know the children of the devil as well. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love their brother. You say, oh, so I just have to do a bunch of religious stuff? No, let me take you to Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you see, we're not saved by works, but we are saved for works. To walk the talk, if you will. What's that look like? It's going to cost you all of who you are. I'm just here to tell you, I'm not the manufacturer, I'm a distributor of truth and love. And God's word says it this way, it's going to take all of you to get all of him. There is no negotiating in this transaction. You are going to have to lay down self to be picked up by the Savior. You say, what does that look like? Galatians 2:20 makes it very clear. I have been crucified with Christ, says Paul, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's no wiggle room there. Who's the us in the our? Those who have been crucified with Christ, who have laid down self to walk with the Savior. Now, some people might say, well, you're getting a little bit over the edge on me. Let me take you to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. If this seems a little long, I just want you to understand the first two words of this prayer are where most people get it wrong. Our Father. If you don't know who the our is, you're going to miss the whole thing. Romans 8, 14 and 17 say, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those who are not being led by self and selfish desires, but those who are being led by the Lord, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. You have been adopted into the family of God. A spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If is a big fork in the road at this little word. If. Indeed, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This means we take the all of him that isn't always easy. God's word, not mine. You say, suffer with him. I don't know about that. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I don't know how to get around that everyone clause. Everyone. Luke 14:27 says, Jesus speaking, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Who is in the our word that opens up the Lord's Prayer? Those who are fully devoted followers of Christ. Those who will pick up their cross and follow him. Those who, yes, are persecuted and yet persevere anyway. Not the ones who do to get credit and trophies, but those who do out of love, out of a sense of privilege to serve. And those who have accepted Christ as both Lord and then Savior. If you're in that camp, the Lord's Prayer is your prayer. And if you're not, it's not. Now that's not harsh cruelty. That's a wake-up call that says, come, because it is open to all. The gift of grace is available to all who will receive and believe. Let me show you another version of the Lord's Prayer that is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Bocelli sings the Lord's Prayer. And I ask you to look for what's wrong in this picture. Breathtaking, isn't it? Absolutely beautiful. And the words of the Lord's Prayer echo through the chambers of our heart. We hear that, and some of us, it'll give us chills. But what's wrong with that picture? The hour of our Father is lost here. You see, yes, that's Bocelli that you hear, but he is singing in the midst of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. People who would say that they are part of the hour, but whose doctrine would deny the fullness of biblical truth, who would say that it's Jesus plus a man named
Joseph
Smith and a tradition known as Mormonism that will take you to heaven. And by that, they exclude themselves from the hour. You see, anyone who would take away from the deity of Christ or would want to add to the fullness of God's truth, in so doing, they become those who have alienated themselves from Christ. They have disobeyed the commandments of God. I show you that, my friends, because it's important that you see that something can be stunning and absolutely beautiful and be wrong and can be out of the will of God. Those that hold to Mormon doctrine do not embrace the truth of God's word. If you get the hour wrong at the first word of the Lord's Prayer, everything else is lost, no matter how beautiful it may look or sound. Truth and doctrine matter. If this is going to be your prayer, you've got to get it right and make sure that you're one that is in the family of God. How about Father? Here we see a word that is designed to show us yet again the relational intimacy of this. God's plan is that we as children of God would be so close, so intimate, so tight. Our Father. I want you to think about this. Your daddy is Creator God. Your spiritual father is the father of all creation. And he's telling us, don't lose sight of who you are in me. If you are a part of the hour, I'm your daddy. I am your father. And all things are possible in this relationship if you get the relationship right. Listen to what God's word says. Now with Moses asking God at the burning bush, you know, what am I going to tell them? Who is it that I am to say that you are? As you call me out, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, Yahweh, is in the original Hebrew 6,800 times. Yahweh, the Lord, is called out in Scripture. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That's what you're to tell them. This Yahweh is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Who is your father? When we talk about our father, as children of God, we're talking about Yahweh, the God of all creation. And we are being instructed in just these first two words, our Father, to understand who we are and to come to God the Father through God the Son, recognizing that it is Jesus who has opened up the door to relationship. We have been saved by grace through faith. I want to show you a video that's designed to help us understand this relationship that we are to come, our Father. We are to come to God the Father through God the Son. In the Hebrew, God the Father, Yahweh. God the Son, Yeshua. I've entitled our message today, Yahweh through Yeshua. Watch this, and I pray it'll give you a perspective for the rest of your life. Thank you. our Father in heaven. Our Father, the real God who is in heaven. We get to talk to Him. We're called to talk to Him through His Son. Each and every one of us has been given the call to come to our Father through God the Son. The question is, which God? Because we're in a world that will tell us there are many gods. The Lord's Prayer says, our Father in heaven, the one true God who lives where eternal hope, eternal truth, eternal power rests in heaven, unlike the cemeteries of the countless gods of this world. I will take you to the root of every other belief system, and I will show you either the fallacies or the corpses that deny their truth. We and we alone have the one God in heaven. And we're told that His name is to be hallowed. What a travesty when you think of the name of God today in our culture and our society. It's not separated and made holy. It's hollowed out and dishonored. We live in a world of Jesus Christ used as a swear. Oh my God. Used as some kind of throwaway slang. Those of us who know Him as King are told to honor and make holy and separate His name. Our prayers are to lift Him up, to honor and glorify Him in name. And what about this, your name? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We don't tend to understand all that that represents. When we throw around Jesus Christ and oh my gods and sound just like the rest of the world, we lose sight of the power that is in that name. And I just showed you a clip that introduces us to the call to come to God the Father through God the Son. Let me show you a song that has pulled out just a handful of the names of God in your Bible. If we understood what His names mean, all pointing at the one true, all-sustaining, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God, if we knew His names better, we would honor them better. Listen and watch. These are biblical names of our God.
Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, my Master Adonai, Elyon, the God Most High. Yahweh, you are the Lord, Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. Nekudishkem sanctifies you, the Lord of righteousness, Jehovah sees in you. The Lord.
Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where Jesus reigns. Listen to what Mark 1, 14 and 15 said. Jesus came preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Where God reigns is the kingdom of God, where Christ is received. Now we are told that there is a present and a future component. And as we've already seen, in the present tense, to walk with the King, yes, it will bring persecution. It will bring trial. But praise God, we're told in the future tense that we'll be at home with Him in heaven forever. And those who walk with the King today will be rewarded and returned in strong favor for all of eternity. I ask you, my friends, will we be the kingdom of God now here in this earth? You see, the kingdom of God reigns in the heart of every believer and every church that lifts him up and is God-honoring. Your kingdom come. The word come in the Lord's Prayer is all about a perpetual coming. It's bring it on. Let there be a continuous flow of the Lord's kingdom coming into our lives. Your will, not my will, not what I want, Lord, but what you want. Give me the want to, Lord, to have as my heart's desire what you would want, not what I would want. Mark 14:36 says, this is now Jesus giving us an example as he's getting ready to go to the cross. If you say, yeah, but you don't understand how rough my life is. And he was saying, Jesus speaking, Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Jesus asking, Father, remove this cup, this plan of crucifixion from me. Yet not what I will, but you will. Jesus saying, even at the cross, I want what you want. We're called to seek his will. And it says, your will be done. It's an active present tense. It's saying that, okay, I want what you want and I want it now. I say to us, pray that God will quiet our talk and quicken our walk. That it'll be done. That we will want what he wants and that we will live it. Here on earth, down in the trenches of real life. This isn't about a religious theory. It's not about some philosophical position. This is asking for God's will in real life. As it is in heaven. As it is, says, to duplicate what you're doing in heaven is what I want down here in my life. Lord, bring that into the reality of my life. In heaven, heaven is the dwelling place, the eternal dwelling place of God. One of the most beautiful pieces of the exclusivity of that first word, our, is the diversity that we will see in heaven. Brothers and sisters from all over the world, that we are one. I want to show you how another person has seen the Lord's Prayer and how they have interpreted it. This time from India. A brother who sings the same beautiful words from a totally different perspective. Here again when we get to heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of God, we will come together. And I pray that this will be a song that we'll sing forever through eternity. Get another sense of how the world sees God's truth. Do you recognize that if all we did was repeat and memorize those words and just spit them out of our mouth as fast as we could, what we would lose in the context and in the beauty of hearing these truths that will echo through all of eternity, through so many different lives? We hear as we go on in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. Give a recognition that we need provision from the provider, an overt request for grace to be gifted our sustenance of life. Give us yet another relational recognition that this is between father and children. Give us our daily. Here the word is very specific about talking to the issue of giving us what we need so that we can be sustained and moving forward. Give us our daily bread. Note that it's bread and not a banquet, that we're to pray not for a feast, but for what we need. Do you know, in Jesus' day, that bread would have represented a small loaf, about as wide as your thumb. The request is to give us, please, O Lord, what we need, not what we want. You see, disciples of Christ live continuously dependent upon Him. Disciples are dependent. Here's the welcome mat of heaven. Forgive us our sins, our debts. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have God's forgiveness, we have nothing. We've got to have our sins forgiven. And in return, what we see in the Lord's Prayer is that we're to live out that same forgiving lifestyle, that we're to give to others what has been given to us in the form of forgiveness. It says, as those who are the adopted children of God, also forgive, that we become Christ-like. We show ourselves as the real deal when we give to others the forgiveness that God has given to us. Jesus says at one point, when your sins are forgiven, they are as far away as the east is from the west. The Lord's Prayer, we're called to seek out the gift of forgiveness, not only to receive, but to give to others. These debtors, we ask for the forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Who are the debtors? Those are the people that are just like us. They're sinners who also need a Savior. They're people who have to have the presence of God in their lives. And whether or not they have come to Christ yet or they are pre-Christians, we're to forgive them no matter what. We're to forgive the way Christ forgave us. no matter who they are, and no matter who we are. He says, and lead us. I want you to think about that for a minute. Are you easily led? Will you give the Lord the reins of your life? You see, we hear it and it rolls off of our tongue, and lead us not into temptation. I want you to hear the lead us part. For you see, those who give Jesus the lead, those who will follow God the Father, embrace the lordship of Christ. Is it your prayer that God will lead you as opposed to somehow empower what you want? Lead us not into temptation. The word there, temptations, would be better spelled out as trials. Please, Lord, don't lead us into trials. We're so weak on our own. I don't have confidence in our own strength, Lord. Please, don't lead us into trials. But instead, rather, deliver us. The word deliver could easily be explained as rescue. What a beautiful word picture. If you see this as you're crying out to God, say, Lord, please lead me. Be the Lord of my life and rescue me from the evil one. My friends, there is a very real evil. There is spiritual warfare happening in your life every minute of every day. There is a battle taking place for your soul or for your witness and for those around you. I remind you that 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the devil is like a prowling lion who is searching for a soul to devour. Ephesians 6:12, the last couple of weeks we've looked at this verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Friends, I ask you, are you being rescued daily by the King? Are you seeking to give him lordship of your life, and are you asking him to lead you every day? Or is this simply a prayer that marks one of the most famous of all the religious passages in the Bible? I close with one more version from a Spanish persuasion of the Lord's Prayer. And I share it at the end because I want you to hear the man's testimony as he begins. And I pray now, as we've looked at the Lord's Prayer, not as something to be memorized, but as something to be modeled, that you would sing not just the words of the Lord's Prayer, but the testimony of this gentleman.
I went to church for too many years because I had to go to church. Today I go to church not out of obligation, but out of an adoration to my living God. And there's a big difference between following a religion and having a relationship with God. Amen. This prayer that I said all my life has a whole new meaning in my heart today. Because like I said before, I don't say it because my mom's going to alarme de las orejas. Where else your people speak some good Spanish, man? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will always be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass, and lead us not into
temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. The one. The one. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so some of you, I can see it in your faces, you're like, Pastor Jeff, why belabor the point? Why all of these different versions? Here's why. Here's the hook at the end, my friends. Because for too many, the Lord's Prayer is something that is memorized and regurgitated. And I chose that word on purpose. It's memorized and regurgitated in a spiritual, religious setting. And that's not what it's here for. This is all about a relationship. First and foremost, you need to understand who you are in Christ, or, and I love you enough to tell you, who you are not before you enter into this prayer. Secondly, you need to know who the one true, real God is, and that if you call yourself a Christian and have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus the Christ, then your daddy's in heaven and you've got the one true God. You also need to know that our prayers are here and our lives are to be lived to bring glory and honor to God. That's our purpose. Ultimately, we are to embrace our place as sheep in need of a Savior. And to the extent that the Lord's Prayer can offer you a model, personalize it, customize it, get downright custom fit with Christ. And when you pray to God, Abba, Daddy God, recognize that this is not something that's etched in stone that you're supposed to repeat. It's a model for you to follow, understanding who you are, who He is, why you're here, and the dynamic of your relationship to the Savior. We've got some folks, three brothers, that we're now going to walk with into the waters of baptism, who, like that person singing that last version, are here to say, it's not about religion with me anymore. I'm here to celebrate that I've got a relationship with both Yahweh and Yeshua. And it is through Yeshua that I have come to Yahweh, and my eternal existence has changed. And I want the whole world to know. Pete, would you come? Pete is a brother that is fairly new to us here at the Bridge. Come on around. His wife and his brother are going to come and be with him as he comes to make a public declaration of his faith in Christ.
This guy has sandals on. That's smart.
Yeah. Come on up, Pete. Not too cold?
No, it's perfect.
All right. Just hold here so you don't slip, and you'll sit down in here.
It's also wet.
Pete, let me ask you. Is it about religion for you?
Not at all.
Why are we here?
Well, I don't have an incredible gut-wrenching story like so many of the people that that are part of this incredible body of Christ. And for me, at times, that was almost a barrier. I felt like I wasn't worthy because of that. And I've realized that the path and the way to true happiness in this world isn't through a faster car or a bigger boat, but through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the next step in that path for me.
Amen. Amen. Pete's a ship architect, so the boat reference is personal. All right, my brother, Pete, it is now my honor and my privilege in the presence of our King and a lot of brothers and sisters to now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Wow.
Indeed.
Come on. I got some hugs waiting for you, I can tell. Once you get dry. All right, John. We've got a life group that's going to come down and support John. We talk about transformed lives, seeing the power of God at work. My brother John, he's a portrait of grace. Come to know the risen King. John, you know that you're loved.
Yes, I do.
Tell us, my brother, why are we here?
Well, I've lived a pretty terrible life for about 40 or 50 years. I want to live in the hands of Christ and God Almighty and the Holy Spirit. I'm to tell you the truth, I'm afraid. This experience is very new to me, and I hope to live, and that's why I'm here, to live in Christ.
Amen, John. John, there's now a whole family of people who count it their privilege, who have watched God do an amazing work in your life, and we're just getting started. And you know the battles are just coming now.
I do.
But like we talked about before, we're accustomed to being bullied by the enemy, but nobody pushes the King around.
Amen.
Amen. Everything's new now, brother. Collectively, we come together, and it's our honor and our privilege, John, to baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lawrence, many of you that call the bridge home were introduced to Lawrence about 3 weeks ago. His testimony was shared. I promise you, if you're accustomed to religion and religion alone, everything changes when the relationship takes root. Here comes an entire family. How many of you know that when God changes a life, when He transforms a life, oftentimes the ripple effect is the most beautiful.
Amen.
Lawrence, tell me, my brother, why are we here?
For the longest time, I've walked in, we talked about it before, just with this bag of nails, this bricks on my shoulder, and I can't carry it anymore by myself. And I'm turning in that bag so that way, instead of walking 50% with the Lord, 75% with the Lord, and Pastor Jeff and I talked about it before, 99% obedient is 100% disobedient, and I'm ready to live my life for the Lord.
Amen. I tell you what, I won't get voted into any kind of political office. I can live with that. But you're right, Lawrence. Even at 99%, life stinks. But at 100%, and the battles will rage on. Where are you, John? The battles are just getting cranked up, but that's okay. Because at 100% true Christian, that prayer is your prayer. Amen. Those promises that are in the Bible, they're your promises. And the power of God. You see, the enemy's no longer just picking on you. In fact, he's thinking he can get you, but he can't get you. I tell people oftentimes that for the longest time I thought that my relationship with God was based on how well I could hang on to Him. And depending on what I was going through, every once in a while, I would feel like I was right on the edge. And those were lies from the pit of hell, because when I gave my heart to Christ, I didn't hang on to him. He holds on to me. And he holds on to you, Lawrence. And there's no turning back now. You walk with the King, we're getting hell pretty upset today. Amen. Let them be scared. Because there are warriors for the Lord that are now coming out. John, don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid. Today's the day that hell gets notified. We're coming after them. We're going for prisoners of war. Amen. We're going in looking for those that have been deceived. Amen. And you're going to lead the charge. Lawrence, you're going to lead the charge. We now. How big is this guy in your life?
Mike's amazing.
Amen. Don't you think for a second that you need some kind of a title to be used mightily of God. You just be faithfully obedient. Amen. And God will work through you in ways that will change eternity. Amen. Amen. Lawrence, we all now celebrate. And it's our privilege to baptize you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Woo. Lawrence, that's the first wave we put out of the tank. Amen. Amen. Love you, brother.
Love you too, Pastor Jeff.
All right. Wow. Well, I know that if you had appointments at Cracker Barrel, you're going to be late. I just say that to alleviate the tension. No apologies. I said to you when we were doing Share the Love, this is messy church. This is what it's all about. If you want to go to church, go someplace else. If you want to be the church, the bridge is your home. This is what it's all about. Think about what's happening right now. Right now. All of heaven is rejoicing and all of hell is pouting. Because there's a people on Ken Island that are serious about being the church for Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we come to you so thankful for the privilege that it is to be your hands and your feet, to know as children of God that the exclusive, inclusive clause of our Father applies to us. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the privilege to reach out into a world that so desperately needs to hear you, and that you have empowered us to be carriers of truth and love. Not either or, but both and. Truth and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to make some time available to pray. There will be a couple others that will come and be here to pray with you. And just to stay consistent, there will be one more genre of the Lord's Prayer sung as we make some time available to pray. I would ask, if you're here and you're late, please be patient. This song is about 4 minutes, and there are some that are here right now who are listening to the Lord knock at the door of their hearts. Don't interrupt that knock. And if that knock is happening in your heart, won't you come and pray? Don't leave here today not knowing that you too can be a child of God, that the gift is available to you. When that first song ends, please feel free to be dismissed. There'll be a couple more that will play if you feel that you want to stay and linger and talk with the Lord. There's no rush. Won't you come?
done